It's Sound Effect on KPLU. I'm Gabriel Spitzer. Here on this Halloween, we are going to revisit some of our favorite tales of the otherworldly. And we'll start with this one that aired in our Origin Stories show. We begin with the outgoing voicemail message from a guy named Bill Puckett.
Please leave your name, your phone number, and the best time to call if you're reporting a UFO sighting. Leave name, phone number, the date of your sighting, the time of your sighting, the city, state, and country of your sighting, and a brief description, and your call will be returned.
Puckett is providing a public service of sorts. What he'll do is record your account of your UFO sighting and investigate it. He's a longtime Washington resident, and now he lives in Helena, Montana, and that's where he runs this group called UFOs Northwest. Thinking about how Bill's interest in UFOs began, he says he remembers hearing about flying saucers during one of those early waves of sightings.
You know, they were scary. I mean, it created a national panic. I mean, it was in the national press, and it scared me. Of course, later on, I kind of piqued my curiosity, but in the 1950s, it was a pretty scary phenomenon.
So like a lot of things in childhood, first it scared you, and then it sort of intrigued you?
Right, absolutely.
And part of what captivated Bill Puckett was hearing about this one specific incident that took place in Washington over the Cascade Mountains, an episode that formed the origin story for the entire modern UFO phenomenon.
Oh, I knew about the Kenneth Arnold incident when I grew up back here in Montana in the 1950s. I mean, UFO sightings were in the national news in those days, and it was well known that that's when it started, and it was June 24th, 1947.
Would you sort of walk me through the Kenneth Arnold incident?
Well, on June 24th, 1947, Kenneth Arnold got in a light aircraft in Chehalis, Washington, and he was going to fly to Yakima. And he was a search and rescue pilot. And there was a lost plane over Mount Rainier. He thought he would divert a little bit, check out if he could see if he could find this plane. And while he was doing that, these nine silvery objects, sort of shaped kind of like boomerangs, not quite complete disc-shaped objects, he saw flying out ahead of him. He clocked them between Mount Rainier and Mount Adams, and I believe that he estimated their speed at upwards of 1,800 miles an hour. Of course, at that time, we had jet aircraft, a few, but none of them would fly that fast. That's when the UFO, modern wave of ufology got started, because the press got note of it, and the actual term flying saucer was coined by one of the press officers.
Can you spell out how the term flying saucer came about?
I think Kenneth Arnold, you know, used the analogy, they look like saucers skipping on water.
So that term flying saucer has really taken hold in the popular imagination. And now when we think about a UFO or an alien craft, it's almost always saucer shaped, or often anyway. But what Arnold described wasn't saucer shaped, right?
Not exactly. They were more boomerang shaped. However, subsequent to that, you know, there's been a lot of flying saucer sightings.
How would you describe the reaction and the kind of publicity that followed Arnold's story?
Well, it generated a lot of publicity, and, you know, there was a newscast.
We are honored indeed to have here in our studio this man, Kenneth Arnold, who we believe may be able to give us a first-hand account and give you the same on what happened.
They looked something like a pie plate that was cut in half with a sort of a convex triangle in the rear. Now, I thought, well, that maybe they're jet planes with just the tail painted green or brown or something. And didn't think too much of it, but kept on watching them.
It generated a lot of newspaper articles, and then it also seemed to get the military's attention, because it wasn't too long after that they started Project Sign. And, of course, the famous Roswell incident happened only a couple weeks after the Kenneth Arnold sighting. I think something really happened, because there were just hundreds and hundreds of sightings that summer of 1947. They started in June. They peaked in around the 7th of July, around the time the Roswell crash. And then they tapered down to real low numbers later in August. It wasn't just all press bias.
For people who are into ufology and studying this stuff, what is the significance of the Kenneth Arnold story?
Well, I would call it perhaps a Rosetta Stone of UFO sightings. Some people would say that'd be Roswell, but I would say that the flying discs are still seen. I mean, I've had reports here just this past week. I'm trying to acquire photos from this woman that saw a flying disc in eastern, or I should say western Kansas, and saw a being inside of it. The disc was quite close to her. The significance of that is that they were unexplained in 1947. They're still unexplained in 2015.
Do you think that Kenneth Arnold, was he a believer?
Yeah, he wrote a book. I'm looking at it right now, The Coming of the Saucers. So yeah, I certainly was a believer. However, later in his life, he wished he had never even got into it because it just involved a lot of harassment. And I don't know whether it affected his run for lieutenant governor of Idaho or not, but he kind of regretted later in life of being involved with it.
Is that a feeling that you understand? That feeling of, gosh, I wish I had just kept my mouth shut?
Absolutely. I mean, even myself as a UFO investigator, I've been targeted by neighbors and stuff as kind of a crackpot. You know, what's this guy doing investigating UFOs? If you're not amiable to public criticism, it's best to be more discreet about your beliefs. However, skeptics do have some ammunition. I mean, there is a lot of deception in the UFO field, this chemtrail nonsense and Planet X in 2012, even though that's not totally UFO, it's UFO related. And, you know, you start talking that kind of junk around scientists and they're going to say, you know, what planet do you reside? I mean, it's, you know, it's not reliable information. And I try to stick with forensics and photos and videos and radar data, but I still can't prove scientifically that UFOs are non-terrestrial or higher dimensional or, you know, due to other paranormal phenomena. I believe it, but I can't prove it.
Is it ever lonely to believe something that mainstream science and culture dismiss?
Somewhat. You know, it would be nice to have the support of the scientific community, politicians. It's a bit frustrating, but, you know, it's just, it goes with the territory.
Well, William Puckett helps to run UFOs Northwest, and we'll link to his site on our webpage, kplusoundeffect.org. Bill, thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you very much for inviting me.